Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team, for doing as you always do and leading us into the presence of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that name, Jesus. That's a name above every name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. God, to you be the glory. To you be the glory. And we need that name because this time of season is this week. We look at the advent of peace. And this time of season, there's a lot of people that just, like the title of my message, I just need some peace. Anybody ever been there? I just need some peace. I just need some peace. John chapter 14 and 27 says, "Peace I leave to you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." This world has a certain type of peace that it wants to give to you, and God has a certain type of peace he wants to give to you. And I want to explain the difference today. Because if you base your peace on the world's peace, you're in trouble. It's short-lived, it's hollow, it's empty, and it doesn't last. In the Hebrew Bible, a lot of times you read the word shalom, or the word peace is actually shalom in the Bible. That's how it is. And that word shalom, you hear me say shalom. Every time I go to Israel, every time everybody talks to someone, you're like, shalom, right? And what that shalom means is peace. And actually, when you speak it to someone, you're saying peace to you. So isn't that a whole lot better than, "Hey, what's up, Daryl? Hey, what's up, man? What's up, dog?" You know, okay, that or, "Daryl, peace to you, man." You know, ain't it a whole lot better? Hey, man, I just wish America would get that and everybody would just say shalom to everyone. I love that. It's so beautiful. You know, it's often said in that culture that when they go to a house and they say peace be to this home, that if someone in that house is a peacemaker and a peacekeeper, then peace rests on that home. And if there's not, then that peace is returned to you. I think that's kind of cool. But peace does not mean that there's no trouble. A lot of people think that peace means that there's no trouble. Peace actually means harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity. I love this, uninjured, safe. And also often whenever we're in Israel and someone says, they'll say, "Shalom, shalom." And that means perfect peace to you. Amen. And then we also know that on Friday night to Saturday night, Jesus always had Shabbat, right? Where that was a Sabbath. Shabbat means Sabbath. And so on Friday night to Saturday night, when you're around in Israel, you always look at someone and say, "Shabbat shalom." In other words, peace to your Sabbath. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. The respect that they have about the word peace over there is incredible. But most people in the world does not understand a positive connotation of peace. It's more negative connotation of peace. The biblical concept of peace is not based on our circumstances. The world bases peace on circumstances. You know, the goodness of life. But the thing is that true peace is not based at all on what's happening around you. You matter of fact, I'm gonna say this, and I don't know if I've ever heard it before, but you should have peace before you have trouble. You're not supposed to wait till you get in trouble to say, "Lord, give me peace." Now we may say, "Lord, I need more peace," but we should have. See, peace is not just for the valley. We look at peace. "I need peace. There'll be peace in the valley for me." You know that old song. That there's peace in the valley. But man, there's peace should be on the mountaintop as well. And then we should take the peace that we have on the mountaintop and take it into the valley with us. Then you're walking in peace. You know, that's why we say, I'm walk right through this valley, lift my hands and praise the Lord. You can only walk through the valley if you have peace. If not, you don't have peace, you sit and camp and become a victim. You can be in the biggest troubles and trials in your life and have peace, but also you can walk in the most victorious moments of your life and you should have peace. Matter of fact, Paul really talked about that whenever he said, "I could be," this is Paul saying, I got peace like a river. You know that song? I got peace like a river. I got all kinds of songs in my mind today. But the thing is that Paul said, you know what? I could be content in whatsoever circumstance I'm in. Amen, Sherry? Amen. That was J. Odell's favorite scripture. And he used to say that all the time. But that's Paul had said it before he did. Paul would say, you know what? No matter what I'm going through, I can have peace. I can have that peace. And he demonstrated that at the jail at Philippi. When he was in jail, him and Silas was in jail, and they had shackles. They were beaten. They were bleeding. Now, if you were beaten, shackled, and in jail, in the center of the jail, and all the people, all the jailers were against you, spitting at you, slapping you, you wouldn't think that he would have peace, would you? They had so much peace in his jail that they began to sing. They begin to sing, not just sing songs like campfire songs. You'll be coming around the mountain. No, they sung songs to God. You know, when I wrote that down, this song came to my mind. I hadn't heard it forever. You know, I sing praises to your name, oh Lord. Praises to your name, oh Lord. And for your name is great and greatly to be praised. You know, and you know, I just love that. And I just, they sung their own song to the Lord. That's being in peace when you're shackled and you're bound and you still can God give God glory. And I want you to know today that if you're on a mountaintop today, maybe you can be on a mountaintop and still lack peace. But we need to say, God, Lord, I'm on a mountain. Things are going well right now. Lord, give me peace. We don't never ask for peace on a mountaintop. We need to start asking God for peace on a mountaintop and quit waiting until we get in the valley to ask for that peace. God communicated so much peace that then he was able to give peace to the jailer. He went home with the Philippian jailer and he actually prayed and his whole household got saved, right? James said in James chapter 1 verse 2, count it all joy or consider it all joy, you brethren, whenever you enter or encounter various trials. That word trials comes from the word perismos. And what it means is it's a double-edged sword. That same trial is a trial that the enemy's trying to distract you and trying to get you to sin. And that same trial means it's a trial that God is allowing to happen to make you stronger. So count it all joy whenever the enemy's coming against you, and count it all joy when God's trying to build you up. Because either way, God's going to turn it out for the good. Peace is not the absence of pain. Peace is not the absence of pain. And so much, we just said, Paul said, whatsoever circumstance I'm in, I can be peaceful. Let's find out what kind of circumstances he was in. He said, five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. One time I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked day and night, and I spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys and dangers in the rivers and dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers from the false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights and hunger and thirst, often without food in the cold out there in exposure. Apart from such eternal things, there is a daily pressure of the concerns of the church. And he said, through all that, through it all, I have peace. I've learned how to navigate through all my troubles to walk in peace. Jesus had pain, and he still had peace. He knew the pain of rejection, the pain of betrayal, the pain of the cross, the pain of death, and he knows your pain. He knew the pain of the disciples, his friends and family. You know, and he knows it, and Jesus says that in him we have peace. In Christ we have peace. He did not say, in me you have peace and you won't experience pain. Matter of fact, he said the opposite in John 16:33. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have trials and sorrow. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So we are in him. He's overcome the world, so the world can't take us out or down. Peace is not the absence of troubles or problems. Peace is walking with Christ, with the peace of God in our life through those trials and troubles. And we will never arrive at the true peace of God until we understand the peace of God through eternity. And I did a whole message on this. There's a difference between peace with God and the peace of God. You will never attain or obtain peace of God if you don't have peace with God. Without Jesus Christ in your life as your Lord and Savior, peace with God, being saved, you will never have the peace of God. You can't have one, you know, and then not the other. And that's the difference. One is experiential. You experience the peace of God, but you have a relational peace with God. So it's not attainable. Matter of fact, Philippians 4:9, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and again in Hebrews 13:20, God is called the God of peace. He's a God of peace, and Jehovah Shalom, right? Peace, God of peace. So God is God of peace. Remember the other day we learned that God was a God of hope. And then next week or another, we've always known that God is love. You know, and now we know that God is peace, right? And so faith, God is a God of faith. So faith, hope, and love, He's God of all those. He's a God of peace. He's a God of everything, right? Everything we need, we forget that He is that. And Jesus Christ said, "My peace I give to you." And I think, listen, you need to catch that. "My peace I give to you." You know, that same peace that He had when He walked on this earth and there was mockers, haters, murderers, traitors, all kind of people that came reviled against Him. And He had all that. And in the midst of all that, He was calm, almost like it was not human. You know, they came at Him so hard and He just stood there. And He stared at them with them eyes that He has. And He had this calm demeanor and He was unfaltering. He was like a rock. If anybody exemplified true peace, it was Christ. He's sitting there beating where his own mama doesn't recognize him. And he's just sitting there just chilling and just looking and saying, "God, forgive them." How much more peace can somebody have than that? And that's the peace that He gives to us. He confounded his enemies. And whenever He came, they didn't understand. Pilate, when he was brought before Pilate, Pilate was so upset at it. He was screaming and yelling and they were telling him what they were going to do to him. And as a matter of fact, Jesus was so controlled at peace. In John 19:10, He says, Pilate was furious that Jesus was standing before him fearless. In a near frenzy, Pilate said, "Do you not know that I have the authority to release you and I have the authority to crucify you?" One translation said, "Why don't you talk to me?" He was, you ever talk to someone and argue and they just stared at you like you're an idiot? And it made you feel like an idiot, you know, because they're sitting, they're yelling and screaming at you, trying to get you riled up. And Jesus looked at him. He said, "Don't you know that I can release you and I can crucify you? Say something back to me." He just looked at him. And you know what he said? In perfect peace. He says, "You have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above." That's the only authority you have is what my Father gave you. You know, and then from then on, I love these little tiny little itty little blurbs that throws in there. From then on, Pilate sought to release him. Okay, you're right. You know, and he's like, something's got to be there. You know, someone said that it is undistracted fearlessness and trust. The peace that Jesus had was from God. God is a God of peace, and Jesus is a Prince of Peace. And there is no peace without trust in God. If you don't trust in God, then you can't have His peace. Jesus is seen all through the New Testament as the peace dispenser. The peace dispenser. Acts chapter 10:36, Peter says, "The word which you have sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ." In 2 Thessalonians 3:16, "Now may the Lord of peace Himself continually grant you peace." The Lord Himself grants you peace. It was His own peace. And it was relational to us. It was peace that was tried and tested. He had it in His human body. He was fully God, but He's also fully human. And on that human side, He had that peace that was coupled with the God side. And He's like, "That peace that I have." He said, "I want to give you that peace." When He left, He said, "My peace I give to you." Oh man, I want you to truly understand this today. This is just mind-blowing. That peace that He had to stand before Pilate, that peace that He had to be up there on the cross where His mama didn't recognize Him, for Him to be able to say, "Forgive them, Lord." For Him to sit there and be yelled and screamed at and plucked and for him just to be calm in his spirit, that peace I give you. Why can he give us that peace? Because he's like, I don't need it no more. I'm going back to heaven. I am peace. I don't need this human peace that I used while I was here. He used human peace while he was here that God gave him. So he says, this little peace I got. You ever been somewhere and had a ticket and said, it's like a ticket in and out of somewhere? You're like, hey, I'm leaving. I don't need it no more. If you need it, you can have it. Right? Same thing. He's like, I got a ticket to peace. You can have it. It's the peace. It's my peace. It's not that ticket. Oh, this is my ticket. The ticket that you have is way up in a balcony. This is that down on the front row. You know, so you can use my ticket and you can have access to something that you don't have. So he said, my peace I give to you. I don't need it. That same peace that gave him serenity and danger and calm and from anxiety and fear. And also that peace that he walked with whenever he was fine and whenever he was on a mountain. And when he was doing good, that peace that he had, knowing that God was in control. John 16:14 says, he will glorify me and he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. He's a peace dispenser. He's a dispenser, and then Holy Spirit takes it and discloses it to you. So Jesus takes the peace, says, hey, here's enough for them. I want you to give this to them. Holy Spirit takes that peace and brings that peace to us. He wanted the disciples to know that I'm leaving, but I'm leaving Holy Spirit to make sure you have all that you need. So the Trinity don't really have a hierarchy. We call them God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But it's more of a submission. Holy Spirit submits to Jesus, and Jesus submits to God. Okay, but they're all three one. God is the author, the finisher, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the El Shaddai, the great I am. He sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. Jesus is the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He gives us access to God. He is our intercessor. He's our lawyer. He is our hope. He is our friend that sticks closer than a brother. And then you have Holy Spirit that brings the gifts to us. Okay? He's our comforter. He convicts us. He gives us power. He gives us authority. He guides us. He leads us. See, it's like a bank. A bank has money, right? You work for me. Let's say you work for me. I write you a check. The bank authorizes that check because that bank knows that I got money in the bank. So they authorize that check. I send that check to you and through the mail carrier, and you get that check and you cash it and you get the money. Okay? Well, God is the bank. God is the place of peace. Okay? And then Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he writes the check. Hey, God, you've got all that. I'm going to write a check of peace to them. Have you got my back? Will you authorize that peace that I'm giving to them? Yes. So then the Holy said, okay, Holy Spirit, mail carrier, I need you to take this peace to them. And then Holy Spirit brings that peace to us, and then we cash it in. John 15 tells us that if we remain in him and abide in him and him being with us, that we will have that relationship of peace, right? The world's peace that it talks about really does not even exist. There is no peace in the world. We say world peace. When we say world peace, we're really saying we don't want war. You know, world peace really does not exist. World peace really is just saying no troubles. Don't worry, be happy. There is no peace. There is nothing. It's just lack of issues, lack of trouble. It's not really a peace. It's lack of something. Lack of something is not something, right? No individual can ever have peace without Jesus. You know, if you know God, then you can know peace. If you don't know God, you will have no peace. You know, you have to trust in that. And we have to know that this world has had all kind of wars and all kind of stuff, but we can still have the peace of God in our lives. You know, that's why people seek peace. When they say, I just need some peace. I just need some peace and quiet. I just need the voices to stop in my head. That's why they turn to alcohol, to drugs, to pornography, to addictions, trying their best for escapism, to try to get away from all the things, to have a little bit of peace. But again, that all that stuff does is numb you for a short temporary time, and then all of it comes back with more of a vengeance. And we got to say, that's not our ways. We can't put our blinders on and go to bed and wake up in the morning and just hope, poof, it's all gone. That's not how the world works. The world will weigh on you. The world will beat you down. The world will hurt you. But God says, you know what? You don't have to live like that. If you live like that, that's your choice. The peace of Christ is an unending source of strength for us. In Acts 7 and 60, Stephen was bleeding and broken and bruised under this mob. They were throwing him, they were stoning him because he stood up for Christ. They were throwing rock. If you know what being stoned is, literally they throw stones at you and rocks and boulders until the blunt force trauma kills you. So they're throwing all these rocks at him. And he looks at them and says, Lord, don't hold this sin against them. He looks up to heaven and sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. He's like, look here. And what kind of peace have you got to have for a whole group of men and women possibly throwing rocks at you and you just sitting there at peace, taking it? Not fussing and cussing and raising all kind of sin as so many would do. That's peace. Paul was dragged out of the city and dragged out almost lifeless and stripped by robbers and assigned over and over to be killed. But he had an uncanny peace. Paul wrote, we're pressed on every side by troubles. Here it is, listen. But we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but never abandoned. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. That the peace of God that he had, the peace that Jesus had, the Prince of Peace, that he was able to use, that we can have in our bodies as well. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus. So that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. For me to die, for me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain. So he said, look, it's coming from every side, but we're not going to be crushed. We're not going to be broken. We're not going to be destroyed. And then he went on to say in verses 16 and 18, a few verses later, he said, this is why I never give up. Because of what he just read. Through our body, though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day by the peace and love and faith of God and hope. Renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs and will last forever. So we don't look at our troubles that we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze. I love that. We fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen for heaven one day, right? For the things that we see now will soon be gone. But the things that we cannot see will last forever. You walk by faith, not by sight, right? The peace of Christ is a great resource in knowing the will of God. God can help you. If you're all stressed, anxious, and torn apart and broken down, you can't know and follow the will of God. You need God's peace in your life for you to really focus on the Word of God and what God's saying through prayer and other people to be able to follow God's will. Matter of fact, Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called to one body, and be thankful. Translated into Greek, that word means peace means to act as an umpire, to act as an let it rule, like let that word, that word is to rule, that the peace of God rule in your heart as an umpire. Colossians, Paul was urging the Colossian church of Corinth on the peace of Christ that becomes an umpire to make the decisions in our lives. When you have an umpire, that the umpire says, that was foul, that was fair, that was a strike, you're out, you're safe. You know, they make the decisions in the ball game. They make the critical decisions that decides the ball game. And it says, let God, the peace of God, let that peace rule your heart. Let it decide what's good and bad and what decisions that you need. Amen? And Sydney, if you can come up. Perfect peace comes when our focus is off of our problems, off of our trouble, and constantly on Christ. Isaiah 26 and 3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. Again, you can't have peace without trust. All those who are fixed on you. And so you know how I am with acronyms. I like to try to grab some acronyms here in closing. P-E-A-C-E. Pray about everything. Enter into His presence. Accept His help. Conquer your fear. And eliminate negativity. That would be a good way for us to walk in peace. And then on top of that, I asked Google AI what would they say that peace would be in an acronym. And it said, I kind of liked it. It said, perfect ease and calmness experienced. I was like, okay, Dr. Google, I hear you. Perfect ease and calmness experienced. And I was like, you know what? That is a wonderful thing of peace, to have perfect ease and calmness. And that's exactly what Christ did. He walked in calmness. He walked this earth in peace and in control. He was always in control of His emotions. If you are not in control of your emotions, most of the time, you are not at peace in your heart. Now, I'm not saying that if you're walking in peace, you'll never get upset or angry. Hey, Jesus Christ, He got so upset, He was still in peace, but He turned them tables upside down for them tax collectors. Okay? So I'm not saying you're never going to not get upset. But I'm saying underneath that, that's a controlled anger. He knew when to stop. He didn't turn tables over to start punching people in the face. All right? I wish He would have done. That would have been great. I'd be like, that's boss right there, man. But the thing is that you know, so we can have that peace in our life. I love that song that we sung earlier. It said peace. It didn't make a peace that didn't make no sense. How can you be at peace when you lost somebody that you love? Because God is my peace and my refuge. And that means I'm trusting Him. When people are walking around and they don't have peace because somebody, they lost somebody, there's a tragedy, they're walking on, I understand the very beginning, but I'm talking about on a long-term basis, when they're still not at peace later on after the time has passed of grieving time, and they're still not at peace, that means they're not letting God work in their lives. They're choosing to be a victim of that situation, and they're casting away the peace, and they're bringing in the victimhood. There's nothing wrong with you going through a tragedy and walking in peace. That does not mean that you don't care, that you don't love. That does not mean that you're not concerned. It means that God is my peace and I'm going through hell right now. But you know what? I'm okay because I trust God. But how can you do it? Well, it don't make sense. But God is my peace and I'm all right now. I have my times of crying or whatever or you know, losing it, you may. But overall, God is my peace, and I'm walking in that peace and that tranquility, that perfect ease and calmness, and I'm trusting God. So during this season, if you're right now in a good place, ask God for peace. So when you go through the valley, you'll have that peace. And if you are right now in a valley and you didn't have that peace on the mountaintop, ask God for peace. If you had a mountaintop experience or you had peace, you're still walking in peace, but you're in the valley, then ask God for more peace. But God, I need more peace. I need more help. I need your strength, God. Give me that peace that don't make sense. Give me that crazy, you know, we talk about a crazy praise, you know, that just don't make sense to people. Sometimes, God, give me a crazy peace that people don't understand. How in the world have you gone through this and you're at peace? And then when that happens, Jesus can give you that peace. Please don't forget that. My peace I give to you, He said. He don't need it. He's not using it. He is peace. But His human peace, He offers it to you and I. Why would you get the cheap peace that the world offers when God offers you the best peace as possible when it's free. Well, how is it free? Because you're a child of the King, and He offers it to you for free. You don't have to walk without that peace. Would you bow your hand, close your eyes, please? Is there anybody here today who said, Pastor Doug, I don't have that peace with God. I want the peace of God because I need it with the life I'm going through right now, with everything that's happening to me. But I don't have peace with God. I'm not right with God. And I want to take this Christmas and I want to turn and make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. I want Christ to come into my heart. I want Him to forgive me for my sins. Anybody at all want to raise your hand and receive Christ today? Well, who would say, Pastor Doug, I am a Christian, but I don't have the peace that I need right now. I love God. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But I need some peace. I need God to give me some supernatural peace. Because maybe I'm already in the valley. I'm going through some hard times. God, give me peace. Peace of mind. Anybody at all? Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, amen, amen. Those of you who ain't got your hand raised, you're telling a story. We all need peace. We all need peace. And if you don't need peace right now, you can be assured you will soon. So go ahead and ask for that peace right now where you're sitting at. Say, God, give me that peace. Give me your peace. I've tried my peace. I've tried the world's peace. I've tried all these other types of pieces of peace. But God, I want that supernatural peace. I want your peace. The peace that you had, that you could look at the enemy in the face and be calm and say, I got this. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm an overcomer. I'm a victor, not a victim. And I will walk in victory. Because that's who I am and that's how I live. Thank you for peace, God. Father, I ask right now that you allow Jesus to dispense peace to us in this room through the power of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Jesus has offered us peace today. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you will bring it to those who need it in this room. And let peace arise in their hearts and calm their spirits in the middle of all the turmoil, in the middle of all the hustle and bustle, and all the things that are going on, all their problems, all their trials. Give them peace. I speak peace in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.